The question today is, what is the Holy Spirit's work in the believer after salvation? This is part number 3. We've talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit teaches you after He sealed you and saved you and sealed you and secures you, give you assurance, and sheds love abroad in your heart. He teaches you. He sets up a classroom and teaches you, as we said, to live for the Lord. He teaches you to deny ungodliness or lay apart some things. To deny ungodliness, and He also teaches you to look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. But another thing the Holy Spirit does after salvation in the life of every believer, He comforts them. John 14:16, Jesus said this as He was on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, or there in the upper room at least, wherever, we don't know exactly, but He said, "I will pray," or "I'll ask the Father, and He'll give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever." Now, in the Old Testament time, we know that the Holy Spirit was with the people, and yet He didn't abide with them. He went up on a man for a ministry, as far as the Old Testament time was concerned. But John 14:26, He later said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And even in the teaching, there's comfort. He comforts. The word comforter means one alongside to aid. The word another comforter there, with the word another, is the word in the Greek which means another of the same kind. In other words, it's referring to the Holy Spirit as being the same kind of comforter as the Lord Jesus Christ was. So He comforts us. How does He comfort us? And He does that in our life. He teaches us and He comforts us. Now, how does He comfort us? He helps us to pray. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for, as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth that what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Now, He makes intercession sometime when you don't even know how to pray. He comforts you to let you know that you got through and you don't even know what you really prayed about in one sense, but you just knew that God heard. In other words, you cried out and you may have asked some things wrongly, but it seemed like the Holy Spirit was like the little child brought some flowers that she'd picked out in the outside field and gathered up weeds with the flowers and brought them to the house, going to present them to her mother. And Daddy met the girl and pulled all the weeds out of the flowers and gave and let the flowers be pure. And she gave them to her mother, the pure flowers. And you see, when we pray, sometimes the Holy Spirit picks out all the weeds and things that doesn't need to be there and makes intercession. He's our go-between and presents to the Father exactly what needs to be done. And we know when we say, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done," then we can come along and say, "Hey, He comforts us because He helped us to pray." And He also comforts us in our tribulation. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3 and 4, it talks about God being the God of comfort. And He said, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." You notice the word "that" in that verse gives the reason we are comforted. What is the reason? That, in other words, the Holy Spirit does not comfort us to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. He lets us go through some things. You know, you can't understand anyone if you've not sat where they've sat. And you know, Ezekiel said to the children in captivity, "I've sat where you sat. I understand you." And he could speak some things that might comfort them in that condition. You take a person who's lost a little baby, I could go up to the casket and say, to them, I sympathize with you. But hey, I don't understand them. I've not sat where they've sat. I've not lost a little child. You see what I'm saying? But if you let someone walk up to that person who's lost a child, and they've lost a child, all they've got to do is put the arm around them and just weep with them, and they know that they understand because they've sat where they've sat. And what God lets you, or why He lets you go through something, and sometimes even in the area of salvation, why there's so much work being done, bringing you to the end of yourself, is letting God bring you, comfort you and bring you through so that you at one time, sometime, will be able to comfort others that's going through the same process. You may not understand every minute detail of what they're going through, but you've been there, you've sat there, as the expression is, been there, done that, and you say, hey, the Lord brought me through it. Let me tell you how the Lord brought me through that. And He gave you comfort, and you, passing that on, can comfort them. So the Holy Spirit does not comfort us to make us comfortable, but He makes us comforters, individuals that use to comfort others. And so He teaches us after we're saved. He gives comfort. He also produces fruit in our lives. Galatians 5:22-23, He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. Now you notice the word fruit in that is singular, but then He lists nine different parts of that fruit. It's ninefold. It's like a piece of pie that you cut in nine pieces. You say this pie has nine pieces. The fruit of the Spirit has nine pieces to it. It's a ninefold. And each of these, it's singular, but it's ninefold and it's classified. These nine pieces, if you please, or nine different aspects of that fruit, is classified in three categories. First of all, there's the character as an inward expression. That's the first one. It's love, joy, and peace. And of course, love, it's the agape love, the God kind of love, produced in the heart of every believer. The Bible said in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The word shed abroad means to pour in like a flood. It's not as a sprinkle or of rain or as dewdrops comes, but it pours in like a flood. That kind of love will let you love even those who do not love you. Doesn't mean you won't correct them. Doesn't mean you won't speak up. And when you need to, you correct your children. Don't you raise your voice to your children? Sure you do. And you do that because you love them. And yet, understand we may not always do everything exactly right, but love reproves. Love rebukes. And that's exactly what the love does. And this love is even present in some degree in an awakened sinner. The agape love, now mind you, for the Lord Jesus said so in Luke chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, and verse 47 of Luke 7, when He said, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at His feet behind Him weeping, and began to wash His feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed His feet, and anointed them with ointment. And now when the Pharisees, which had bidden Him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth Him, for she's a sinner. Wherefore I say unto you, and of course it transpired as Jesus spoke between that, but verse 47 said, wherefore I say unto you, Jesus said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Jesus said of this woman, who was a sinner, who was not yet saved, because her sins were forgiven that day. She loved, that's past tense, she loved much, and that word for love is agape, the God kind of love. And it's the fruit of the Spirit kind of love, and yet it's even present in an awakened sinner, even though she was lost. God said it was there. I can't explain that altogether, but it's there. I mean, God said that, and so we'll take His word over what man says. And the second thing, the second part of this fruit manifested, as far as the character is an inward state, not only love, but there's joy. Now, that word joy is the gladness, is gladness of heart. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 8 said, talking about Jesus, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So it's gladness of heart. But it also speaks of peace now. There, love, joy, peace, character, as an inward state of this fruit of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit produces. And this peace is the tranquility of mind based on the consciousness of a right relationship with God. It's not just the peace we have with God of Romans 5:1, where it said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We're joined together with Him, one, in Christ. But this peace is a person. It's not the absence of trouble. Ephesians 2:14 says, for He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And of course, that's the justifying peace. But Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6 through 7, speaks about the saints having not just the peace with God, but a peace of God, which is the sanctifying peace that we can have. where he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then he says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, he's saying in that scripture, basically worry about nothing, pray about everything, and thank God for anything. And then whatever he sends your way, you can have peace that passeth all understanding. The world don't understand it. Whenever you have peace in the midst of turmoil and the storm is raging, when you have to bury a loved one, even though you may weep over it, there's still peace. You know God's right. He's just in what he does. And the world just can't understand it. But he said that peace of God, in other words, that peace there, the tranquility of mind based on the consciousness of a right relationship with God, it passeth all understanding. Talking about the world, don't understand. But that keeps your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, it guards your hearts and it guards your minds through Christ Jesus the Lord. So there's a fruit. Now there's the comforts. The Holy Spirit comforts. He teaches us and he produces fruit. First of all, there's the fruit as a character, as an inward state, love, joy, peace. Then the second group is character in expression toward man, and that's dealing with long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. Now, the word long-suffering speaks of steadfastness of the soul under provocation. The idea is forbearance and patient endurance of wrong under ill treatment without anger or thought of revenge. In other words, when someone does you wrong, if you've been saved, you will not think about getting ahead of them, as the expression is, or even getting even. You'll do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. But it speaks of the steadfastness of your soul under provocation. Now, the word gentleness that refers to kindness, which is a quality that should permeate the whole nature, mellowing in it all that's harsh and hard. It's the quality and the quantity of the fruit of the Spirit, and that will increase with age. In other words, if you get more cantankerous the older you get, you need to check out the problem. If you say you're saved, you do not have the fruit of the Spirit if you get cantankerous the older you get. But you ought to be a mellowing of all that's harsh of heart. And so Romans 8:9 said, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so, therefore, if you get cantankerous, you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, you don't have that gentleness. Now, goodness is also character as an expression toward man, is the third one in that section that the Holy Spirit produces. And it's kin to gentleness, but this refers to that quality in a man who's ruled by and aims at what is good. In other words, it's the quality of moral worth. So the Holy Spirit will produce fruit in every child of God's life. This is the Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.